Smart Money on News 104.5 WOKV. Here are your hosts, Hank Madden, Michelle Barron, and Brian Hughes.
Jacksonville, it is Saturday morning live, almost kind of near blizzard conditions outside.
It's a good TPC weekend.
Yeah, because I don't have to go.
Not hot. Good weather.
That's true. That's all of that is true.
Except tomorrow. It's supposed to rain a bit.
Okay. I'm all right with that. Anyway, I'm Hank Madden.
And I'm Brian Hughes.
Yep. Michelle, God bless her. Her family, unfortunately, had the lost the matriarch of her husband's family. And so they're at a funeral this this weekend, and our prayers and thoughts do go out to all of them. First-time listeners here, well, by golly, a very special welcome to you guys and gals. Hope that you will be able to stay with us for the full 2 hours. And as always, our regulars, our regular listening base, you guys are the foundation upon which we build your ever-increasing numbers, and I am so grateful and truly humbled whenever I get a chance to meet you and you walk up and say, Jay, we listened to you for years. And I, that it just means a great deal to me, and I thank you all for that. The show, what it's about, well, two different things. We're going to take the topics of today, whether they be national or international, and bring them back to you and your homes and how they will impact you. Why government policies and decisions actually control your life, your future, your hopes, your dreams, and literally can have a devastating impact upon us, as we had witnessed in prior years. So we're going to take a look at those and help you to better appreciate what they are and how to identify, beware, and cope with them. Then at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to open up the show to you and your questions. So get your financial questions up and get them ready. We are, folks, a Christian-based radio show. Our firm, Madden Advisory Services, is a Christian-based firm, and we try to lead our lives based upon the principles of Christ. Now, I tell you this not as a means of marketing, as we have had some crude individuals interpret us, but to let you know that we do have a moral compass that guides us. The problems we face in America, in all candor, they're not Republican or Democrat, conservative, liberal, socialist, whatever. We have a country that was founded on Christian Judeo principles, and now that country has given up its moral compass. And we see a country making decisions without regard to any sense of morality. And when we do that, we forfeit a huge portion of who we are and what we are. And if America is to ever get back again to her greatness, then she needs to have her moral compass. And folks, that's all of us out there. If you're a business owner, I'm noticing more and more business owners are very quietly displaying a cross. It's very quiet, but speaks very loud. And we need to have more of us be willing to stand up for the moral principles that we believe in. Topics today, I'm going to go back to 1949 for one, and it will surprise you what it is. You heard Bill Clinton decades ago say, well, it's whatever is the meaning of is. Well, how about what is the meaning of green? And we can take a look at that. Who's afraid of socialism? Well, we can talk about that. That if you don't think government policy doesn't affect you, your life, your decisions, your investing, wake up and start smelling the roses, folks. How about the quality of life under Trump? Up sharply. And if we get in time to it, how about social insecurity? We have that as well. So broad base. Brian, you should have a good market for App Forces this day.
Yeah, markets were pretty positive. Before I get into that, we're going to do Did You Know's on the seven deadly sins of 401ks, which we talked about before, but it's always one of my favorite topics because there's a lot of news around retirement savings crisis. We're going to get into some of those numbers and what it looks like and what we could do to prevent our own retirement savings crisis. But markets were positive on the week. They gained 2.98%. Your quad witching day was yesterday, Hank. You love that day.
I do.
Brought us to 13.07% now on the year. And as we know, portfolios were negative in 2018. But if you stayed put after the fourth quarter of last year, so you were actually in the recent rally, you should be pretty close to recouping all of your 2018 losses by now. There were some weaker data that came out on the week. For the second straight month, manufacturing output in the U.S. declined, with the decline spread across multiple sectors like machinery, electronics, and apparel. As the Wall Street Journal points out, the weak manufacturing data reflects headwinds, including slower global growth, a relatively strong U.S. dollar, and fading fiscal stimulus. Sometimes, though, the markets take not-so-great news as good news, and I think some take this as yet another sign that the Fed will have to further dial back their interest rate hike plans. In fact, interest rates on treasuries on Friday fell a little bit. And I mentioned manufacturing there, but the U.S. is more of a consumer-driven economy, with roughly 68% of the economy driven by consumer spending. And when folks are feeling optimistic and good about their finances, that typically bodes well for spending. So we pay attention in particular to consumer sentiment numbers, which improved in March. In particular, folks surveyed pointed to increases in income expectations this year as a reason that they are feeling good, and hopefully those feelings turn into spending and keep this economy rolling.
We're still above 50, though, on the ISM, which means expansion. Maybe not as fast.
Right.
But it still indicates that. And the Feds are going to meet Tuesday and Wednesday. So it'll be interesting to see how the market responds to what they have to say. I do think China is going to come to an agreement with Trump on the trade issues. And when that happens, that'll pick up a lot of slack that's ongoing, particularly in Europe. So, you know, opinions are like elbows, and most folks have got one or two. Okay. I'm going to blow this for you Catholics and those that are blessed to speak Latin. In hoc anno dom Anai, I think is how it is. Whatever. Anyway, we're going back 49 years ago to an article that was written, and I'm going to even go back further than that. And I brought this out today. When I look at everything that's happening, I listen to what the socialist left, what they are saying and what they want, and what we know that socialism is. Just look at Venezuela, Cuba, Russia. Yes, Russia still. And you see a lot of what I'll be talking about here. And this also infers back to our moral rudder. So when Saul of Tarsus set out on his journey to Damascus, the whole of the known world lay in bondage. There was one state, and it was Rome. There was one master for all, and he was Tiberius Caesar. Everywhere there was civil order, for the arm of the Roman law was long. Everywhere there was stability in government and in society, for the centurions saw that it was so. But everywhere there was something else, too. There was oppression. For those who were not the friends of Tiberius Caesar, there was the tax gatherer to take the grain from the fields and the flax from the spindle, to spend to feed the legions, or to fill the hungry treasury for which divine Caesar gave largesse to the people. There was the impressor to find recruits for the circuses. There were new executioners to quiet those whom the emperor proscribed. What was man? Yeah, but for to serve Caesar. There was the persecution of man, who dared think differently, who heard strange voices or read strange manuscripts. There was enslavement of men whose tribes came not from Rome, disdain for those who did not have the familiar visage. And most of all, there was everywhere a contempt for human life. What to the strong was one man or less in the whole crowd of the world. Then, of a sudden, there was a light in the world, and a man from the Galilee saying, "Render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God those things that are God's." And the voice from Galilee, which would defy Caesar, offered a new kingdom in which man could walk upright, bow to none but his God. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done unto me. And he sent this gospel of the kingdom of man into the uttermost ends of the earth. So the light came into the world, and the men who lived in darkness were afraid. They tried to lower a curtain so that men would still believe salvation lay with the leaders. But it came to pass for a while in diverse places that the truth did not set man free, although the men of darkness, the truth did set man free, although the men of darkness were offended, and they tried to put out the light. The voice said, "Haste ye, walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goeth." Along the road to Damascus, the light shone brightly, but afterward Paul of Tarsus, too, was sore afraid. He feared that other Caesars, and like and other prophets, might one day persuade men that man was nothing save a servant unto them, and that men might yield up their birthright from God for pottage and walk no more in freedom. Then might it come to pass that darkness would settle again over the lands, and there would be a burning of books, and men would think only of what they should eat and what they should wear, and would give heed, only to new Caesars and to false prophets. Then might it come to pass that men would not look upward to see even a winter star in the east, and once more there would be no light at all in the darkness. And so Paul, the apostle, the Son of Man, spoke to his brethren, the Galatians, the words he would have us remember afterwards in each of the years of this Lord. "Stand fast, therefore, in liberty, wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." This was written in 1949 by the late Vermont Royster. I was coming across it with articles that I had been reading, and looked upon what was happening and the choices that we're going to have to make as a nation in the near future. And what a rudderless society, meaning one without moral guidance, what it has and what it gives up. Where do you want to be? You've got to ask yourself, and you've got to teach your families and your children. So it's your responsibility. I prefer freedom, and I was willing to fight for that, as I know many, many American men and women have. So those are my thoughts, and we've got some others that will hopefully intrigue you. Folks, we're going to take a short time out. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV 1021. Did you know?
Did you know we are talking seven deadly sins of 401ks? We certainly know that inadequate savings is an issue for the average participant, but why? When we come back, we'll talk about it. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. Smart Money Time is 1021.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money. I'm Hank Madden.
And I'm Brian Hughes.
And am I hooked up, Scotty? Because I'm not hearing myself right.
I hear you.
Okay.
Your mic's red. There's a light right in front of you.
Yeah, all that's true. Anyway, welcome back, folks. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV 1027. Did you know?
Did you know, according to Fidelity, as of September 2018, this number's going to scare you, Hank, the average 401k was about $106,000.
Wow.
Which is enough to generate you roughly about $300 or $400 a month in retirement. It's obviously not the best of situations, but why are balances kind of low? You know, people aren't saving enough, and I see a lot of people just contributing the company match, which is usually not a high enough savings rate. People take out loans and withdrawals often. When they switch jobs, I see people cash out their 401k and, you know, go buy a boat with it, which, hey.
Well, you know, there are some things in life that I'll accept as necessities. You know, boats are just kind of there, maybe.
Yeah.
Kind of.
So I point to a lack of 401k education. Maybe too many investors make decisions without really understanding how they impact the overall and long-term picture. The responsibility to fund retirement really has shifted from the companies when they used to offer pensions. Now today it's through the responsibilities on the employees to save for themselves through their 401k. And it means the burden to go out and learn and plan has shifted to us individuals. And if we don't do the planning, we'll end up in situations quite a bit different than what we had imagined. And that's usually not a better situation than what we had imagined.
No, it's going to be far, far worse. The man and woman you are financially today is a byproduct of who you were 5, 10, 15 years ago. The man and woman that you're going to be 5, 10, and 15 years from now, what do you want them to have? Well, that's dependent upon you. And it's amazing, Brian. I'll ask almost everyone says, you know, it's just so tight, I can't afford to save anymore. And I'll ask them, well, what would happen if you say your pay were cut by $200 or $300 a month? Would you quit your job? Would it materially change your life? And you know what the answer is?
No.
No, it wouldn't.
And the other question is, can you afford not to save?
Yeah, so bingo. Hey, wow, we're there. Hey, folks, great news. That's right. We're coming to that bewitching time. Lines are open. 855-765-1045, as my beautiful princess bride will tell you. That is 855-765-1045. So call and call now. We're going to bring you up to date Fox National News, local weather, transportation for the Jacksonville area, TPC. And did you know?
Did you know we're looking at 7 deadly sins of 401k plans? And it's not just the workers who are lacking in retirement education. Employers often don't know what the heck they're doing either. When we come back, I'll let you know. We mean, you're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. Smart Money Time is 10:30.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money. You are listening to News 104.5 WOKV. It is 10:36, and yes, lines are open, all you TPCers and others. The area code is 855-765-1045. That's 855-765-1045, as the beautiful Mystic Minx will tell you. So call and call now. Did you know?
Did you know? Think about this. Someone in your 401k makes decisions that have massive impact on your 401k, like which investments are offered, which 401k provider to use, what will be some of the distribution rules. Mm-hmm. The thing is, and this is especially true in a lot of small and mid-sized companies, the person making those decisions that affect your retirement often, maybe even usually, do not have the experience and knowledge to be able to make those decisions. I think it's why we see so many 401ks that offer poor investment options.
You know, having dealt in that area for a number of years, I remember when I first started working with companies, I would look at what you're doing just as you had said. And say, man, I can just blow them out of the water with investment options. And so I'd go waltzing in there and I'd make my presentation, and then somebody comes in behind me, doesn't offer nearly the investment options or of equal quality. But what they did was offer the business owner, here are the forms that you must make sure that you get to keep these IRS off your back, and this is my price for it. And what I found was the business owners were more interested in making sure that they kept the service off their back and who had the cheapest deal. And that's scary when you think about, whoa, that is my future.
So, well, they probably also had some TPC hospitality tents that they were offering, too. It's pretty common.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yes, they did. Yes, they did. Brian, you brought out a point of interest that you don't really hear mentioned, mainly because of how most people do business. But when you get into investing, there's basically two types of risk, systematic and unsystematic. Systematic risk is a risk that across the board affects all businesses, and all businesses will feel its impact almost equally. The closest that I have ever seen was 08 and 09 on the when the market went down. There was not a sector, I don't believe, that was not adversely affected, and even money markets went down a couple of cents. Then there's the other risk, unsystematic risk. Unsystematic risk is caused by strikes, layoffs, natural phenomenon, and what have you. And the good news is that's a diversifiable risk. Now, Brian brought up the point, and go for it.
Well, I mean, we can put that theory in action this last couple of weeks with Boeing stock. You know, Boeing through the end of February was up 37% on the year, which if you were a Boeing holder, you'd feel pretty awesome about that.
Yes, sir.
If you're a Boeing stock owner over the last week, you don't feel so good with the plane crashing. And, you know, over the last 1 week, it lost about 12% of that. And so I guess, you know, with systematic risk, you know, I think of that as risk that you should take because it's necessary and that's how you make money. Unsystematic risk, that un part to me means unnecessary risk because you could diversify out of it.
Right.
And when you have risk, that means you can make more like you did through the end of February, or you could lose a heck of a lot more like you did through this first couple weeks. And if you think that you can time the stock market and be able to pick when it is, if you could have said at the end of February, there's going to be a random plane crash, they're going to blame it on flight control systems, and Boeing stock's going to go down. If you have that ability, give us a call. We probably have a job for you.
Oh, I guarantee you I would.
But people don't realistically have that ability. And over the long run, I think unsystematic risk does not compensate investors because you win sometimes and you lose sometimes, and it just makes your portfolio more volatile. So that is the reason that I don't think people, investors, should have more than 5% of any one individual stock in a portfolio. Do you agree with that number?
I would even up it to 10%. And it's just because of what you have you said. Generally, to eliminate it, you need to have at least a 3-to-1 ratio of stock to one replace it if something should go wrong. But you need at least 10 different stock. And by stock, that means in 10 different sectors as well. If you all ball up in the same sector, you're still subjecting yourself to unnecessary associated risk. And how many people even research the sector that they're in as opposed to chasing yields?
Well, you're talking about different layers of risk. Like you first mentioned the overall market risk, the overall market moving up or down. Then there's sector risk. It's, you know, Boeing is is an industrial, and it's really considered an aerospace defense company. And so you have within the overall market that sector moving up or down. Maybe there's something that happens with government spending that affects the overall sector, or, you know, things can impact the sector as a whole that don't impact the market. And then obviously you have company specific risk, like we're seeing with Boeing, that doesn't impact the sector, doesn't impact the overall market, but it does impact that individual company. And that's why it's a diversifiable risk. That again, I don't think over time, most people, even professionals, are successful enough at stock picking to get compensated for taking that risk.
Well, not if they stay with it, but I see, now here's where you and I will differ. I like unsystematic risk because it's a risk that I can prepare for and diversify my way out of. Systematic risk, buddy, when that thing hits, it doesn't matter what you have, you're going to go down. And there's nothing you can do about it. But if you properly diversify, I do agree with you, Brian, that, yeah, you're going to take a hit and you may not make as much because of that. But overall, if you handle that risk properly, you can. Did I say that right?
Yeah, I mean,
I think so.
You know, I mean, you mentioned unsystematic risk is something that you could diversify out of, and I agree. I mean, and you can diversify to some degree out of systematic risk. It's just control your exposure to the overall markets.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, that also, boy, this is going to swing you off, that also is influenced by you having boundaries. What do I mean? Is it best as a general rule to take your profit? When is it best as a general rule to cut your losses? Well, from what I have read, seen, and experienced over, I guess I'm going into 44 years. God, that's a long time in this business. If you cut your profits at 20-25%, in other words, you got to take some money off the table. And then this is the biggie, the one that kills people. Every 20, 30, 40% loss began at 7 and 8%. So if you can cut your losses at 7 and 8%, now that can be difficult if you're dealing particularly in the tech area and new companies, small cap new companies. You've got to look at their volatility, and 8%, you know, their swings may be 12 to 15. So it is important to understand that. But that was just as a general rule. You want to fuss at me?
No.
What, real?
Not this time.
Ah.
But we got an hour and 15 minutes left. I'll find something.
Okay. Let's go ahead and take a short time out so we can get some more time in. Folks, you're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. It is 10:45. Yes, lines are open. Just ask the beautiful Mystic Pinks. 855-765-1045. So call and call now.
Did you know employers who realize they do not have the knowledge to make 401k decisions will often hire third-party consultants to help them out, which is a good development, but that third-party consultant is also conflicted in their advice. When we come back, I'll talk about why that can be an issue. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. Smart Money Time is 10:46. Lines are open, so call and call now, 855-765-1045.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV 1051. Did you know
about half of employer searches for 401k plans and investments involve outside consultants, which is good news because a lot of times employers don't know what they're doing. The not so good news, the consultants they hire are rife with conflicts of interest that usually align the consultants' goals with mutual funds, i.e. their commissions, or somehow otherwise incentivized to recommend certain products. So you're an employee, your employer hires an outside firm to choose the 401k options. Often you end up replacing someone who doesn't know what they're doing with someone who doesn't have the plan participants' best interests as a priority. I'm not really sure which one ends up with the better results there.
Well, but, you know, it goes all the way back to hire a fiduciary. That's the first thing you should ask. So, and the employer. Hey, folks, I've got one for you. You can do some fact-checking on this if you want to, but how about the quality of our life? Are you willing to give this up? Well, guess what? Under President Trump, our life quality is sharply up. In an interview recently, Trump rattled off a series of economic successes. He could have added one more, and that's the public's quality of life and how it has improved sharply in the past 2 years. Quoting him, we have created 5.3 million new jobs and importantly added 600,000 manufacturing jobs. Wages rising at the fastest pace in decades. Unemployment has reached the lowest rate in half a century, and this is covering African Americans, Hispanic American, Asian American unemployment have all reached their lowest levels ever recorded. Unemployment for Americans with disabilities has reached an all-time low. Unemployment at historic lows, wages climbing at a fast pace. Who would have figured it? The news media, fixated on Trump scandals, hasn't really exactly been broadcasting the good news. And media fact-checkers are busying themselves trying to nitpick Trump's economic boast. But the upbeat assessment clearly resonated with the public. They have been firsthand witnesses to the strength of the economy over the past 2 years. How do we know? Well, look at the Life Index, which asks the public whether they think their quality of life will be better, worse, or the same over the next 6 months. Well, in 17 years that it's been running, this index, it's averaged 56.2. Under Obama, it averaged 53.7. Even if you only include Obama's second term, it was well below the 17-year average. Under Trump, the quality of life index has averaged 59.3. That's a 10% increase over the average during Obama years. To be sure, there's a partisan element to this. Republicans tend to rate their quality of life higher than Democrats when there is a Republican in the White House and vice versa. But look at the independents. Their quality of life averaged 52 under Obama, and it's averaging 58.8 under Trump. That's a 13% increase favored Trump. What's more, the gains are across the board. Households making $35,000 to $50,000, for an example, saw an 8% gain in this index when you compare Trump to Obama. Those making $50,000 to $75,000, 11% gain. We see the same phenomenon, which has been the positive territory over 50 years since Trump's been president. It's average 46.8 under Obama. The public is clearly giving Trump credit for the turnaround, while his overall approval ratings, they hover around the mid-40s. He regularly gets much higher marks for his handling of the economy. My guess is that the press, if it were to let up even just a little bit on the 24/7 criticism of Trump and spend more time reporting what's happening in the economy, Trump would get higher ratings on both measures. And I'm betting you that we wouldn't have as much animosity bouncing around in the general public because of all the hatred that is being spewed across the airways. You know, that's just my opinion. So, well, we'll take the ball and run with it. Okay, let's see. We have Diana, and make sure I've got the right little gizmo. I do. And she has a question on Social Security. Come on. I hate these little mice things. Mine is not. Scott, go ahead and bring that one up. I cannot get it to do my mouse to move.
Hey, Diana.
Yo, Diana.
Hello.
How are
you,
dear?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm fine. When I went to file my income taxes this year, they taxed my Social Security because my federal civil service retirement went over $25,000. And they taxed my Social Security, which is a very small check, almost half of what I get. And I was wondering when they started doing that.
Thank you, Bill Clinton. You know, he felt your pain so much, he's the one that introduced that, and they could have taxed actually up to 85%. But it is a graduated process on how much of it is subject to tax and added to your income.
Well, they taxed 800. I only went over $480, the 25,000, because that's why I listen to your show, which I find extremely helpful in other ways, but I don't have enough, you know, income to do. And I retired in 1991, so I don't have any 401ks or any of the rest of it. That's the only income I have is the two retirement checks. And I was totally stunned when they came back, because I do my own taxes, and it came back and they took half of my little bitty $224 tax return. And so I went down to H&R Block, and they graciously, for free, went over the thing, and it took them almost an hour to run that Social Security worksheet. That's terrible when somebody knows what they're doing takes an hour. And no, they weren't charging me. It was free.
Well, so, that's nice of them.
Well, I thought it was extremely nice of them. And I just, they didn't know when it started, and I was wanting to know when they started doing that.
Bill Clinton,
was very unexpected.
When he was in office, it was in the second term, I believe, is when they started taxing that. So I wish to tell you that it were different. You can look up the tax tables, and it will tell you at what level they will begin taxing and the graduated increases of that amount. Diana, they're telling me I'm up on a hard break. Did we answer your question, or would you like for us to hold you over and pick it up on the other side? Yo, Diana. Okay, I don't guess we're going to. All right. Hey, folks, we're getting ready to take an information timeout, bring you up to date Fox National News, local weather, traffic patterns for the Jacksonville area. Then we're right back to you, your calls, and more topics. Did you know?
Did you know the 401k business, it's a good business to be in if you're a mutual fund company, but those mutual fund companies aren't always the greatest for investors. Find out which of the 401k deadly sins I'm talking about when we come back. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. Smart Money Time is 11 o'clock.
Here are your hosts, Hank Madden, Michelle Barron, and Brian Hughes.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money Live, Hour 2. And that's kind of a nice weekend outside. You know, y'all can get all hot and sweaty, and it's comfortable. It could be any colder, and we would have blizzards. But
it's good camping weather.
Yes, it is. Brian and I have talked before. I just love to wake up in the morning at a camp, and you smell the wood fire burning. You've got your little Coleman stove going, and somebody's cooking coffee and frying bacon and eggs. That's just an incredibly wonderful smell. So, anyway, welcome back to Smart Money. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. Smart Money time is 11:09. Yes, lines are open. 855-765-1045. That's 855-765-1045. So call and call now. Did you know?
Did you know it's an understatement to say mutual fund companies make a lot of money from the 401k world. And it says fund fees that have us worried. A lot of company plans do a really good job at finding good and cost-effective options for their employees. But in this environment where fund companies spend so much on winning and dining and marketing to gather assets, low TPC tents, A lot of employers don't exactly pick the best funds for you to invest into. So you got to watch out for high fee funds inside of a 401k and ones that seem to underperform. The worst part about it is even if you have bad options, when you're inside of a 401k, there's often not much you can really do about it since 401ks aren't exactly known for their wealth of investment choices.
You know, that's an interesting point too you bring out. A lot of firms can make an option, and I think you're starting to see more and more pressure for this to come about for independent investment firms such as us to come in and manage the individual 401k and bring with it a wealth of improved investment choices, equally as well how to employ those choices. And then you find the investor, you know, willing to go more. I'll tell you this, if you're young and just starting out, don't worry about trying to get an elaborate diversification. First off, you don't have any money in it. You got to get some skin in the game first. So you're just now contributing. Buy the S&P 500. You're not going to beat it.
Well, you could do small cap and international. And
well, yes, you could.
The, inside of 401ks, most times now, they either offer risk-based funds, and which we don't like saying aggressive, moderate, conservative, but whatever. 401ks still offer funds to say this is an aggressive growth fund or something. Or they'll offer target date funds. And if you pick a, if you're young and you pick a very far date out, it's still going to be 90-ish percent exposed to the stock market. It's just going to have international and small cap and other stuff. And it could be a very hands-off way, easy way to invest still.
Yep. I still like the S&P if you're just getting started. You know, again, opinions are like elbows.
Well, the fun thing is if you get three advisors in a room, you get six different opinions.
Yeah, and throw an insurance agent in there, and oh, my gosh. Okay, folks, how about we'll try this one. The meaning of green, you know, like with Clinton, and the, it depends on what is. Well, how about this? The seed of the revolutionary political platform, an amazing quality of life for all of our citizens, the chief executive stated, is within reach. President Trump defined that amazing quality of life in part as making our middle class more prosperous than ever before. But why stop there? Why not refocus government and making all Americans wealthier? Heck, I'm all for that. By reversing our culture of wealth redistribution and destruction. As it happens, the Democrats trotted out more evidence of their vision for America, doubling down on redistributionism in all of its form. Cortez, Warren, both call for a 70% income tax rate and a wealth tax, respectively, were the most obvious of their Robin Hood schemes to share media space. Well, but how about the divine Miss C's Cortez Green New Deal? Well, that's supposedly about climate change, but actually the most outrageous wealth transfer scheme ever devised. Her freshman fantasy would shift trillions in resources from a revived fossil fuel industry and everyday Americans to favor the Democrats' green energy constituencies. Not to mention, how about throw in a guaranteed income that in true, and whoops, says she made a mistake there, moment, was promoted as providing income security to those unable, and here's a really good one, unwilling to work. Meanwhile, presidential wannabe Kamala Harris was affirming that progressives loved Medicare for all. No, that it has nothing to do with Medicare. Unicorn would deep six the private health insurance, and this would finish Obama's work of converting the world's best health care system into a platform for stupendous relocations of capital. But what? That's the point. What about it? Well, programs from Social Security to Medicare, Medicaid, to welfare, to student loans require galactic asset movements and little improvement in well-being. In many cases, you're going to go down the tubes with poor outcomes. Even as our Internal Revenue Code taxes savings, investment, work, and payroll, insanity for a country seeking to create jobs and obliterates wealth through compliance costs running to hundreds of billions of dollars yearly, all of which also creates misincentives contributing to the mother of all economics and social downers, and this really hurts. Falling family formations, plunging birth rates, the loss of workers to pay for old age entitlements, and this is driving physical chaos, secular stagnation that has us headed towards Japan and their end of game outcome, and a basket. So, in other words, it's the futility, stupid. Yet progressives are calling for more of the same. But what if President Trump and the GOP were to counter progressives and their harebrained redistribution hustles with an equally radical but truly Green New Deal? Now, how about this? The green as in money. That's right, yenum, money. A plan to create wealth, not just tread water in every social stratum at every stage of life. Well, since progressives are going wild and putting every crazy idea on the table, let's look at some that might make sense. How about clear-cut colossal subsidies and preferences that crowd out markets, create disincentives, and reward rent sinkers? How about further chop the $2 trillion of regulatory red tape that impedes competition and the large cost onto everything from homes to phones. Pull out the props supporting a rotting education apparatus, just as our governor, Ron DeSantis, has done, paralyzed by edifices, complex administrative bloat, radicalism, and increasing worthless four-year degrees, replace it with an affordable, digitally driven system, giving students the choice needed to thrive in the 21st century. Find a way to free young people from the $1.5 trillion overhang of debt hawked to them like so many Florida swamps. Those swamps are worth some money now, though, in some cases. And now depriving them of any opportunity at the American dream. How about this? Go back to the future, 1996 welfare reform, and reposition assistance as a temporary pathway to productive work rather than a downward spiral into despondency and dependency. That's better known as economic slavery, and that's what the Democrats are converting. Of course, they've had decades of experience at creating slavery. How about convert Social Security and Medicare from crumbling pay-as-you-go entitlements to savings plans accessible throughout life that make every working American an investor instead of a supplicant? Thereby switch from unfunded liabilities, as far as the eye can see, to massive investment pools, funding next-generation technologies instead of bypass bullet trains and bridges to nowhere. How about this? Pursue tax reform that stops pummeling aspirations, productivity, and job creation, and rewarding debt over housing and health overutilization, and install a simple-to-administer consumption levy with a prebate. If necessary, start with a transitional plan like Herman Cain's. Remember his in 2012, 999? His proposal, which by itself would set off a growth spurt unsurpassed in the world history. Folks, I am still a strong advocate in favor of the best plan of all, the fair tax. Most of all, purge the endless disincentives to preserving the greatest wealth creation program of all. How about this? Marriage. That's right, marriage and families. For starters, alongside the student loan tax reform, call a truce in the nanny state's war on men and boys, making all too many unsuitable marriage partners. JFK defended tax cuts proposals by insisting a rising tide lifts all boat. If the progressives treat radical redistribution revelries like serious policy proposals, why shouldn't the president expand on his thought-provoking suggestions with an ambitious but realistic deal that would raise, not wreck, riches for everyone and return morality back to this nation? Okay, we're going to take a short information timeout. You are listening to News 104.5 WOKV. It is 11:20. Yes, lines are open, 855-765-1045. So call and call now. Did you know?
Did you know 401k companies typically provide no advice for their participants? When we come back, we'll go over why that is and what's the effect. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. Smart Money Time is 11:21. Lines are open, so call and call now. 855-765-1045. That's area code 855-765-1045.
Welcome back to Smart Money. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV, 11:26. Did you know?
Did you know, according to a recent Schwab survey, 67% of respondents said they would like personalized investment advice on their 401k. However, only 12% indicated they actually get it. That's bad because most people, and of course I'm not talking about our Smart Money radio listeners, but most people don't know what they're doing and end up investing in ways that are completely inconsistent with their goals. And it's not all the company's fault. There's a lot of regulations that have made 401k providers very skittish to offer advice. So right now it is what it is. But it goes back to what we mentioned before. You need to take individual responsibility to either learn about investing on your own or go hire someone independent and non-biased to do it for you.
You know, there's people are always asking us about books or asking me. Write this down, lightbulbpress.com. You know, like a light bulb that you put in your lamp? Lightbulbpress, P-R-E-S-S.com. And there are books there that, and guys, pay attention to this, are written for women by women. Now, I can tell you what that means. They're going to be practical. They're going to be easy to understand. And for the most part, I haven't found any that were not, very truthful, very accurate in what they say. And they all begin with a woman's guide to, and then it's financial planning, investments, definitions, estate planning, tax planning, and so on. These are wonderful books. They read like magazines, which means you can just open it up. And just like you were reading a magazine and you could read the article on whatever it is you're looking for or you happen to come to. These make great gifts, but they're wonderful books to get started and give you a common vocabulary. You know, Brian mentioned, well, we don't call conservative, aggressive, and what have you. That's right, because we educate our clients into what risk really is. And that risk, believe this or not, is quantifiable. We can measure it. That's right. How much does it go up or down? Now, you can tell me you're conservative, and I guarantee you, you and I would have two entirely different definitions on it. But in turn, if you measured that by a term called standard deviation, that's how much something goes up or down, then you don't need to have the definition of or go by this is conservative, this is aggressive, and what have you. You go by the amount of risk that you're taking and are willing to take, as well as, how about this, how much I would like to earn, what is reasonable. Now, if you can get companies to put in their work agreement, this is a contract with the provider, that they will have options to bring in independent advisors, now you've opened up yourself to tremendous opportunities. That's right, people like us. So it's a good way to get started. Again, the man and woman you are today financially is a byproduct of who you were 5, 10, 15 years ago, and so on. Who do you want the man and woman that you're going to be in the future? Well, they're going to be a byproduct of your decisions today. So, I can't believe I let time get away from me. Hey, folks, we got to take another information timeout, bring you up to date Fox National News, local weather, traffic patterns for the Jacksonville area and TPC. And then we're right back to you and your phone calls. We're overwhelmed. Anyway, did you know?
Did you know 401k plans give you some investment options? Sometimes quite a few of them. When we come back, I'll let you know why I include the number of 401k investment options in the seven deadly sins of 401k plans. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. Smart Money Time is 11:30. Lines are open. Call and call now, 855-765-1045.
You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV, 11:36 on the big wristwatch screen. And how about this? Your lines are open. That's right, 855-765-1045. That's area code 855. That's a beautiful Mystic Minx batting her beautiful little eyes, would say. And then 765. And then the numbers are our station, 1045. That's 855-765-1045. Call and call now. Did you know?
Did you know, according to Vanguard's annual 2018 review of its record kept plans, the average plan offers 18 different funds, usually a fund in a few broad categories, and then a bunch of target date options now. In my opinion, one of the biggest drawbacks of a 401k is that there's just not that many options. If you want to invest in U.S. large cap stocks, you have maybe one, maybe two choices, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they're the best. One of the reasons we prefer IRAs, whether it's a self-directed IRA or with an advisor, is that there's more options that you can go into. So if you want a large cap fund, you can look at hundreds of funds. You could look at hundreds of ETFs and then try to pick the best one that fits your needs.
Yep. We actually prefer the ETFs over the mutual funds, although we will use some mutual funds, but very, very limited.
So I'm going to give a caveat to my complaining about the limited number of options inside of a 401k. You know, thousands of different options be pretty overwhelming, too.
Yes, that's the negative side. Oh, my God, I'm overwhelmed. Somebody just whittle this down for me.
How often, Hank, have you seen, like, if a 401k company has 20 different funds that it offers, how often have you seen someone come into our office with just 5% to each different fund? More than a couple, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's the easiest way to do it. And, you know, I don't really have to think about it. It's diversified. Don't bother me. I don't want to talk about this. But we can talk about the latest movie or fad that's going on. It's really sad.
But that's not a good way to invest. But.
No, it isn't. Speaking of that, so how do you go about selecting firms? Well, believe it or not, folks, we do have real jobs in the daytime. That's right. Madden Advisory Services. Who and what are we? We are an independent firm. That means we don't have ties to any of the major brokerage firms as far as that goes. We're totally independent. We are certified financial planners. What that does is give you an established level of expertise that we have and must maintain. We are fee only. Now, there's nothing wrong with commissions. You could not have capitalism without commissions. But I'll tell you what I have learned in 44 years. It'll be 44 years this September 5th, that commissions create a conflict of interest. I don't care how straightforward and how honest you want to be. If you've got a choice between a no load or a commission and you choose the commission and you had unrestricted no loads, You've got a problem. And the client's going to sit there and scratch their head and say, huh, why did so-and-so put me in this commissionable investment? Why can't they recommend the NOLO? Because they've got them. So by being fee-only, we eliminate that. Again, commissions are like a cancer that it just eats at the foundation of trust. Trust is the foundation of your relationship. So we simply charge fees. You will always know exactly what the cost of business is, and we make sure that you get that information on a regular basis. And then we can offer unlimited resources, and to tie it all together, we are fiduciaries. That means we have to abide by the highest standard of law in the securities business. We do not have the luxury of going out and making ridiculous recommendations that would overwhelm clients just because it may look good on paper. We have got to do what the client says, and that's the fiduciary end of it, as opposed to the broker end of it is, well, what is most suitable? Most suitable, that leaves a lot of leeway, as opposed to what is the client's best interest. So, again, independent, fee-only, certified financial planners who are fiduciaries, and we've got somewhere around 80 years of experience between the three planners. So give us a call, 296-1127. That's 296-1127. We do not charge for an initial consultation to determine what is in your best interest. And folks, if it's not in your best interest, you know, the good Lord truly has blessed our firm that we have the ability to tell you, no, I don't think that we are going to be a good fit for you, or no, we would not be appropriate. If when that comes up, we will never let you go without giving you recommendations on what you should be doing. So we'd love to give you a meet. Okay, G-Man.
Well, thoughts? I want to say, you know, over the last couple of years, we've talked about the Department of Labor regulations that came in and really changed public awareness about our industry, because when, you know, even 3 or 4 years ago, I don't think we had any clients who ever came in and said, are you a fiduciary? And that's now, I would say well over half of them come in and ask that question. And so, you know, there's been regulatory stuff that, tried to transform the industry, but you have to realize that those regulations were struck down in one of the district courts, and the Department of Labor is not implementing the best interest regulations.
No. Well, they're not the ones to do it.
They're not. And the SEC is taking they're going to release their own proposal soon, but they're taking a very long time at doing it. And so I think it is reasonable for you to expect that your advisor, when they make a recommendation, that your advisor make that recommendation believing it is the best thing for you. But that's not always how it works within our industry today. And so you need to realize that. And when you are looking for advisors, ask that question. Are you a fiduciary? How do you implement your investment decisions? How do you pick out your investments? What sort of commissions do you receive? How do you get paid? And that'll tell you a lot.
Yep. You know, I don't know why personally that any firm would not want to be fiduciaries. It's a wonderful place and a position to be in. And it makes the client feel at ease. You know, in line with what Brian was saying, to give you an idea what it's like to work with us, we first have the suitability meeting for an hour. Necessary, we might have two or three of them, depending upon the complexity. Then we will go into discovery, and discovery can take easily 2 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours. If you're doing a comprehensive plan, I guarantee you, you're going to have at least 6 to 8 hours in discovery over a number of days. Again, We're talking about your life, your hopes, your dreams, your wishes, your family, your children, where you want to be. But typically for an investment allocation, we're going to block out 2 hours. And in that time, we're going to kind of take you back to school. That's right. We're going to teach you about different types of investments, investment techniques, how they work, advantages and disadvantages. We'll look at various asset classes. How are they applied? And then we will go through a good, solid discussion on risk. It's imperative that you understand it. You may enjoy the pleasure of a gain, no question, but I guarantee you, you will feel the pain of a loss substantially more than you ever feel the pleasure of a gain. To me, investing is something like combat. I was a combat arms officer, ground commander. You know, I've had people say, well, your military experience doesn't mean anything in today's market. Well, I take issue with that. Whenever we were going out on operations, I made certain that our troops understood right up front that we're going to take casualties. Bullets and shrapnels does not differentiate between rank, color, creed, or religion. Anybody can get hit. And you've got to be able to step up to the plate, realize it, keep your head screwed on, right, and work through it as fast as you can. Well, guess what? In investing, you're going to take losses. I promise you. I tell every client, you give us money, as soon as you give it to us, I guarantee you I'm going to lose some. I just don't know particularly where. But I'm also going to make money. That's the way we set up your investments. So we work through this process, work through risk, so you've got a clear understanding of it. And then you can select, what would I like to target by my yield and by my risk as measured by standard deviation. Then from there, the next meeting is an analysis. Now, in between that time, we will have taken your existing portfolios that you have. We would have broken them down to the asset classes they represent and said, okay, if you were to go out and buy this today, what would it look like? What would it give you by yield, standard deviation, probability of loss, recovery time, and yada, yada, yada? You have to have a clear understanding of where you're at before you can look at any change. Otherwise, any road will take you anywhere. But knowing where you are, then you can make an intelligent assessment. Then we'll create several portfolios, and out of that we'll select a number and lay them side by side. Here's where you are. Here's where you would be. We go through those. Your mission is to select a portfolio that you feel best represents your need, and those will be the asset classes. It's like a recipe. You may decide you're going to make, beef Wellington, but then you're going to go out and find the best recipe for it. And when it gives you the ingredients, it doesn't give them to you by brand name. It tells you salt, pepper, beef, celery, and so on.
It's got mushrooms in it, so I won't make it.
I love mushrooms. You and Joby. I swear that she hates mushrooms. But anyway, we will then have a blueprint on exactly how to invest that money. It'll tell us what asset classes we need and how much in each one. And if you do, these are the results you'll get with a 95% probability of success. We use what is known as modern portfolio theory. Look it up. You can go to Morningstar.com and read about it. Won the Nobel Prize in Economics. Arisa rewrote the Prudent Man Rule and retitled it the Prudent Investor Rule and used Professor Markowitz's theory. Now, once we have that blueprint, then we have you back about a week or so later, and now we're going to put together the funding. But when we put together the funding, these are the actual investments. We're not going to give you a bunch of glitzy sales charts. No, we're going to give you a thorough analysis of those recommendations. We'll first review your allocation. We'll go into style investing. What is it? How do we use it? Why do we use it? Then we'll go into how can I know that my portfolio is doing well? Well, that means you have to have an independent resource that's known as a benchmark. So we'll go over the benchmark. What is it? How do we know we have the best benchmark? I'm not making this stuff up. So somebody else does. We just know what to do with it. Then you look at R squared. Then from there, you take a look at beta. Now, too many times, you'll find that brokers use beta as a means of determining risk. And I guess in an indirect way, you can back into it, but that's not what beta is. And I tell you what, we're going to take a short time out. And when I come back, we'll explain beta and how to use it. Folks, you're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. It is 11:50. Did you know?
Did you know we talked about deadly sins of 401k throughout the entire show, and I have one last one to share with you about 401k rules, mainly a lack thereof. When we come back, we'll finish this up with the seventh deadly sin of 401ks. You're listening to Smart Money on News 104.5, brought to you by the financial advisors of Madden Advisory Services right here in Jacksonville. Smart Money time is 11:50.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV, 11:55. Did you know?
Did you know 401ks, there has to be some rules that govern behavior, right? Not necessarily. There are not uniform rules that 401k providers, how they should act, except to act prudently, which can mean a whole lot to a whole lot of people. And it means, for better or worse, there's not a lot of uniformity within the 401k world. I will mention, though, over the last few years, there have been more and more lawsuits against companies, and maybe the 401ks are getting a little better because of it.
Yep, and that's what's really bringing us into it, are those lawsuits. Okay, I want to tidy up what we were talking about. Beta, what is it and how to use it? Beta, more importantly, folks, is a relationship between your portfolio and your benchmark. And there are three different positions for beta. A neutral position, you'd see it expressed as 1.00, simply means that your portfolio and your benchmark are going to look like two porpoises going through the water. The risk is equal between them. Then you've got the gunslinger, the hot shot that says, you got to beat my benchmark, which is the S&P 500. Okay, dude, we can do that. Just hang on. There you would express a beta like 1.4, 1.5, somewhere 1.2, which basically says your portfolio should outperform your benchmark anywhere from 20 to 40%, which is, hey, man, that's great. Okay, that's fine, but your standard deviation is going to start somewhere around 36 to 38% and top out somewhere around 60%. Are you willing to take that volatility? Well, once understood, no. The third position is that of a defensive beta. There you would create a beta less than one. And what you're saying when you do that is that I'm willing to give up some of my gain at the top, so it goes down to the bottom and cushions me. So when the markets go down, I don't go down as far. Consequently, I'll recover faster. Now, so once you've gone through and looked at that, then we look at continuity. What do you mean by continuity? That is, how will my portfolio perform over an extended period of time in relationship to my benchmark? And this is a mouthful, governed by the beta. Huh, that sounds impressive as heck, doesn't it? Well, it simply means that when you look at your portfolio, let's say you're supposed to get 80% of whatever the beta does. So you take 80% of what the beta performed for that period. How does it compare to your portfolio in yield and risk? What we're trying to get away from are flash in the pans portfolio. Looks great for one or two periods and then nothing, or one that's erratic as heck. It'll spike up, it'll go sideways, spike down. Never know what it's going to do next. Well, you want to be able to see, will this portfolio give me consistency? Now, that is no guarantee that it will do it in the future. The closest you can come to a willingness to accept it is to say this. Assuming that the managers make as many right decisions in the future and wrong decisions, that you experience similar economic conditions, then those results, okay, you can go forward with them. Otherwise, know that that's not a guarantee of the future. The last thing that you want to look at is a stress test on your portfolio. What does that mean? Well, you want to know, how is the portfolio perform? Worst case, best case, say, for a short period like a quarter, what is their best year, and what does an extended period look like? And then you can look at your breakout by countries, which will give you a feel for what the exposure will be to the international sides and markets and the risk picked up there. Once we've gone through that, now you've got investments in the back that'll tell you here's exactly what they are and how they've performed. Now you have got a reasonable presentation. After we've done that, you accept it, we implement it, and then meet with you on a quarterly basis. Okay, folks, that's the signal. We got to go. I can't believe it. Nobody said they cared about you today. Know that Brian or Michelle here, she would tell you, my beautiful Mystic Minx wife and I, we do care. Always remember this. The greatest investment you'll ever make is that special time you spend with friends and family. You'll never find it on an asset balance sheet anywhere. Our American fighting men and women, their families, our first responders, police officers, our firemen, our EMTs. God bless you all. Thank you for your sacrifices that you give to us. And lastly, and most important, Jesus Christ, our Savior, gave you a wonderful gift. That's right. He gave you today. There are some folks that have numbered days. Those days become very important. You don't know when yours may be numbered. So it's mighty good to have a relationship with Christ. And it's also important, if you want to stand tall, humble yourself on your knees before your children and your wife and pray with them and teach them how. God bless you, folks. We'll be with you in a week. Bye-bye.